You're listening to Scared Money, Don't Make Money podcast. And here are your hosts, Sam and Sonny.
Hi, guys. Welcome to episode 2 of Scared Money, Don't Make Money. My name is Sam and we have Sonny. We're the hosts. And we have a special guest today. We got Mark, who is my brother. And he will be our guest today and talk about his experiences gambling as well as gambling with all of us. So welcome, Mark.
Welcome.
Great having me. I'm so happy to be here and be part of the podcast.
So like last episode, we're talking about our gambling experiences in Vegas of like different types of bankrolls and our kids and whatever. And we actually didn't really talk too much about superstition. But like with Mark here, we wanted to talk about like types of gamblers and like you can go really get really hot and like some people just don't know how to bet properly. There's like what Sonny calls, what do you call it? Like bet management.
Because money management.
Money management. Betting. So like, I mean, I know like Mark, he likes to like play craps and blackjack, but like, I don't know. We have some crazy stories.
Yeah. I remember a long time ago when we went to Vegas, it was like with all the couples and, Sam comes back to me and said, oh, man, I lost in craps. Oh, what happened? Yeah, Mark had like a 45-minute roll, and, you know, I came out negative. But then everybody else.
Not negative.
I broke even. Well, actually, I think he ended up winning maybe.
$500
like
or $300 to $500.
Oh, okay. But the counterpoint to that, and actually on this roll, it was about about an hour and 15-minute roll.
Oh, okay.
And I turned $300 into, I think it was just shy of $6,000.
Which is normal.
Yeah, which is normal.
In an hour and 15-minute throw.
Right. And but for Sam, where he came back only winning $500, I was just like totally surprised. I was like, Sam, how do you do that? So can you explain what happened that day?
All right, so Mark started throwing the dice. He was hot. I think he probably hit like 7 or 8 points. And I probably had about $3,000 on numbers before we crapped out. So like, but you know, when you get hit the points or hit the numbers, you get your money back and you get some, you know, multiples back, right?
Yeah.
So while everyone's collecting, everyone's pressing, what I'm doing is, I don't know, if you guys know my personality, I'm like all or nothing, right? So like, I don't really care about, I like home runs. I don't like singles, right? So like, I would sit there and like, when I get some money, I would either press, that's why I like $3,000 on the numbers before we crapped out, or I would take some money and I'll play these like crazy 30-to-1 odds, like hot bets or like yo's or 12s or like whatever.
Right.
And obviously it doesn't hit. And then I lose out on money while everyone's collecting money for an hour and 15 minutes.
Right.
The money I'm collecting, I'm just putting back onto the table to try to make more money. So like, it's crazy.
So when Sam says when he's hopping, that's just like a one-time bet. So if he like throws out $10 on number 12, it's just after that row, if it doesn't hit 12, then he loses the money. So each time he throws out money, he's losing because it's not hitting that number. Versus everybody else is playing the numbers. They're making money. They take in some and they press. They take in, press, and go on and so forth. But Sam, he's just throwing money out until he hits that.
But I was feeling happy too.
he was very happy, but I do remember like during that roll, he kept throwing out like $100 chips and yo, $100 yo, $100 yo. And it was like four rolls in a row.
Right. So that's pretty much his profits. Like he's taking his $100, throwing it out there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully to hit like 36-to-1, you know? So, but I guess he didn't hit those.
I didn't hit it. It was always like one after when I stopped and hit the yo or whatever it was. So it's kind of interesting because, I think there was about 12 people playing that time and everyone was high-fiving everyone, making money. Everyone walked away with a couple $1,000 or more. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yay, I made my $500. And I was betting the most probably.
It probably felt like you lost.
I felt like I lost, yes.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I think everyone who was coloring out, you know, everyone's receiving like the purple chips or, you know, the brown and yellow chips, so $1,500 chips and whatnot. And Sam's like getting his like five black back.
It's kind of fun. But so with Mark, tell us a little bit about your gambling experiences and when you started. Give us your history of like when you started, you know, going to casinos or sports betting or whatever, and like tell us, like, has it been positive or has it been negative?
Well, I mean, I think if we're just talking about gambling in general, I think you can date it all the way back to when we were in junior high, or maybe even earlier than that. You're making stupid bets with your friends about random different things. Mm-hmm. And then even, you know, through junior high and high school, I remember we would go like on Friday nights to a friend's house, and we would have like poker nights where we would actually, the night before, we'd go to like the car wash to trade our, you know, $10 into a roll of quarters. And then we would play different, you know, poker games with the quarters. And that's how we would actually kind of get started. And it started with games like Between the Sheets, or it would be, you know, 5-card, 7-card stud, and all the normal poker games. But it would get fun, you know, mm-hmm. because it wasn't necessarily about like the money, at least not to begin with, but it was about being friends with your, you know, having fun with your friends.
Right.
Eventually it turned into like kind of money, because that money would start off low and start off with like $10 or $20. And then as the game progresses, then next thing you know, each weekend you're going into like $100, you know, right. going into that. But then, you know, you graduate then, you know, to like, I think the first time I went to a casino was when I was, I think, 18. And
is that legal in where you went?
Well, so I think back then in California, you could go to like the Indian casinos, and mm-hmm. it was 18, but I think they've changed that law since then. And then in Chicago, they have riverboats, which it does require to be 21 to get in, but we would use fake IDs oftentimes just to go and gamble. And, you know, then you get into the traditional casino games, you know, blackjack, roulette. I wasn't into craps at that time, but definitely, you know, you take whatever little bit of money and you get that excitement, that juiced up excitement about the possibility of winning right. really big. But then, of course, you have that dejected low of losing, and we've all
so
been
like,
there.
So, do you have less, when was the first time you really won at the casino and you walked away with a large sum of money?
Like a large sum of money, I remember distinctly was when I was 21, I was actually moving from Chicago to Los Angeles, and I had packed up all my stuff into my car, and I made a pit stop in Las Vegas, and actually met up with my brother, Sam, and our cousin. And I literally didn't have that much money. I think I had literally $1,200 to my name, which was just enough for 3 car payments. And I was going to make my way out to Los Angeles to just give it a go and find a job. But I took the $1,200 and took 1,000 of it and basically gambled it away in Las Vegas. And I was going to be like, oh, crap, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to make my next car payment now. But I thought, how are they going to repo my car when they don't know where I live anymore because I moved to Los Angeles? But then I took the last $200 and I played $100 on Keno, and the other $100 I went to go play blackjack at like a low limit table at the Imperial Palace way back in the day when that still existed.
Right.
I played and lost $100 in a blackjack. Didn't know what I had in the Keno ticket. I took it up to the desk upstairs. When I cashed it out, I did a 4-number catch-all, I remember, and which means that you have to hit all 4 numbers. And when they rang up the ticket, their little meter said big winner, and I didn't know what that meant. I was like, what does that mean? And the person behind the desk says, oh, if you win any more than $500, it says big winner. But what I failed to realize is that I only win if I hit all 4 numbers, and on a 4-number catch-all on a $10 ticket, that paid out $1,800.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I had lost all my money, but on that one ticket I won $1,800 to give me life. And then I went and played more, which normally would be a stupid thing, but I turned that into like another about $1,500 profit. Mm. So I moved out to Los Angeles with only $1,200 to my name. And when I left Las Vegas, I actually left with about $3,200.
So it kind of worked out, right?
It worked out.
But at the same time, do you feel like that's a blessing in, for gambling wise, or was that like a bad turn?
I mean,
we know how that works.
Yeah. I mean, with hindsight being what it is, obviously, then you learn that that can be a curse, because then you think this can happen all the time.
Right.
And there are plenty of stories of, because I know myself, and I know that I can have like an obsessive, compulsive kind of personality with the things that I really like. And so, yeah, I would say definitely the next probably 4 or 5 trips that I took out to Vegas, I definitely did not come back a winner.
Yeah, I mean, Sonny and I talked about this in our last episode, and it's like both of us has very similar stories in our gambling stories. Like, we had it really well, we did well, and then all of a sudden we didn't, and then we took out credit cards, and we had to file bankruptcy, and and like Sonny had the same story I had, which is we both had to file bankruptcy right out of college or like in our mid-20s because of gambling debt. Exactly. So yeah, it's kind of like funny, but it's not funny. And so like, it's weird that how the gambling gods, I guess you call, like they get you like this and entice you and get you to the win. And then all of a sudden you feel like, well, this is easy money. And then you just go into the spiral of like debt and you're like, get into issues.
It's the same thing we talked about kids. Remember, it's like, hey, do you want to teach kids how to play or do you not want them to learn? Because, you know, if once they have that one winning session, then they're going to try to come back and win a little bit more.
So have you had a story like that? Have you filed bankruptcy because of that, gambling or anything?
You know, thankfully, I've never had to file for bankruptcy. I did get into debt for sure, but I've never had to file for bankruptcy. I have defaulted on credit cards because I didn't have enough money. And so for a long while, definitely had issues with my credit. But, you know, thankfully, I didn't go down that spiral because I think overall, there was a certain point where I learned, at least for myself, is that, you know what, I've definitely been down that road. I've lost thousands of dollars and made that horrific drive back from Vegas to Los Angeles, that five and a half hour drive where you're just like, you know, just pissed off at yourself, pissed off at the world, pissed off at the gambling gods that, you know, it didn't go your way. But yeah, thankfully I haven't had that. But I did also come to realize, like, at certain points, you do this just for the fun of it. You can't just let it like dictate like your entire livelihood, for instance. Like, this is just a certain set of money that I'm going to go when I gamble in Las Vegas, I'm going to set aside, like, let's say, you know, $3,000. And when I go there, that's my ticket, my admission price for going to Vegas. And whatever I lose in that $3,000 or $5,000, that's going to be it. Once I hit that, I'm not going to do it anymore. Because I remember there were days when I would go there and you know, take out money from the ATMs with a $12 bank fee, right? And then when you withdraw as much cash as you have left, then you go to your credit cards and then they charge you like
$30.
32%. Yeah, 32% or whatever interest that you get for a cash withdrawal and all these processing fees that are like crazy expensive. But you don't have that right mindset when you're in the middle of it because you keep thinking, okay, I'm down, but if I take out another 500, I can turn it around. I could win that money back. But I've learned you oftentimes don't, because look, Las Vegas didn't build all those really pretty buildings just by giving their money away, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I learned now if I have like a certain like amount budgeted for me to go, I just take out that cash withdrawal, you know, to begin with. Or nowadays, I actually have a bank account where, like, I can withdraw, and no matter how high the processing fee is, like, my bank refunds that money back. So it's always funny. Usually, I go to a normal bank, it's like, oh, $3 or $3.50. I go to Vegas, it's like $15, but I get that back, actually, because the bank refunds it back to me.
Oh, okay.
All right, so let's talk about, as gamblers, like, what's your favorite game to play? And tell me why.
For me, I mean, I love craps, and that's where I started with. And actually, I started with blackjack. But then once I started playing craps, well, once I saw somebody who winning in craps, that's what got me hooked. So then one time when I was playing craps, it was at the Mirage. It was me and my buddy James. We go there, started out probably with like $500, and then turned that 500 to maybe 10,000. Within an hour.
Within an hour?
Wow. Damn. Because that person had
That's
a hot
a good run.
Yeah, it was a really good run. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So my buddy and I, we walk out of the casino with a full of cash in our pocket. We're like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do with all this cash? You know, we're kind of scared, you know, like, oh my goodness. And then from there, okay, you know what? I love craps. And then, of course, I started playing the pass line, which is the normal way of playing craps. And then, but one day I was at Mandalay Bay. I mean, I vividly remember this. I told Dan and you guys, about how I started playing the dark side, which is don't pass, which is the totally opposite of a pass on craps. So I was watching.
Basically,
this,
you're playing with the house.
Playing with the house, yes. And I'm playing against yes. all you know, everybody players. Else. Yes. Yeah. So I'm watching this guy, and he's winning, but I'm like, why is he on the other side and making money? And so I was just watching him. I was asking him questions, what he was doing, what's the odds and everything. So he kind of explained it to me and said, you're playing with the house now, but you get paid less. I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, that makes sense.
Exactly. You're risking more and yeah. getting paid less.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
why, because you're playing with the house.
Exactly. So I was playing there, and then it was just me and him. And then another person comes in and he started playing the don't pass too, which I didn't know he was playing don't pass. But then later on, I found out he was. And then the table was cold, meaning that, you know, we're crapping out. The house was making money, and then we were making money. So as soon as somebody else walked in to the table, they would lose, and they would just walk out. Mm-hmm. And then another person would come in, and they would lose and walk out because all of us are playing don't, and we had this whole vibe, you know, like with, hey, you know, we want to crap out. We're playing with the house, and we don't want you to make a point. So the guy comes in and he doesn't make a point. He loses and he walks out. So after that, I pretty much got hooked on playing the don't pass. And, you know, that's just my story on craps.
No, and, you know, to add on to that, and I'll answer what I like to play here in a second, but just to add on to your story, because I got into craps partly because of Sonny. And I, you know, he was kind of teaching me his ways, and I can see how much money he was making on it. But I remember distinctly there was this one time that we were all out together playing craps. And this was one of the first times I was like starting to get into craps with Sonny and in playing Don't Pass. And I don't know if you remember this, but we were playing the Don't Pass, but it was on a crowded table where most of the people there were playing pass. And I remember distinctly there were a couple like African-American guys at the end, and they were playing the pass line. And we're over here on this side of the table, kind of in the corner, and like they would crap out. And I was like celebrating. I was like, oh yeah.
And, like,
and then Sonny was like, whoa, no. You don't, even though you won, you don't celebrate because you're going to get a bunch of other people really pissed off at you. And if you piss off the wrong person, like they're going to meet you out at the parking lot and like kick the crap out of you. I was like, oh, I didn't know that's how it works. Like, no, you do not celebrate.
Yeah, it's just funny how craps work, where like some people are playing the pass and the other people are playing the don't pass. And when you're on the same table, the pass people could celebrate, but the don't people can't celebrate because we're playing against them. But at the same time, so why can't we celebrate?
It's like a weird unwritten rule, right?
Yeah.
So that's the same unfair. Thing in blackjack too, because in blackjack, not everybody wins if the dealer doesn't bust, right?
Right.
So if you win and like the three other people lose that play with you, you feel like...
It's not a table win.
So you can't celebrate. And you're kind of quiet to yourself. You're like, oh, okay.
I won. You guys lost.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
My bad. Yeah. Everybody's like...
Better luck next time.
Or maybe you shouldn't gamble anymore. Yeah. But like... Yeah, I mean, craps is that way. I mean, with the pass line and the don't pass line. So, like, people get mad. So, I mean, that's why I realized Sonny likes to play by himself. And there's no one else could give, like, bad vibes or comments about, like, oh, you guys are assholes playing don't pass. But, like, you know, who cares? Yeah. Like, money, it's your money, right? And same thing with blackjack. When I'm playing, it's like, I want everyone to play the proper way by the book because it works out the best usually. But, you know, when people ask me and they're like, you know, they got $1,000 on the bet and they're like, what do I do here? I'm like, I don't know. I was like, honestly, this is the way I would play, but like, it's your money. I can't tell you what to do. But I hate people who come onto the table and I'm betting like $500 a hand and the guy's betting $50 and he's like, oh, I got a 13. The dealer's showing 10. No, I think dealer doesn't have a 10 underneath, so I'm going to stay. Right. And then dealer shows a 7 or whatever, and he doesn't hit, and if he hit, he would have got a 9 or something, or 8 to hit 20 or 21, and I take his card, and I needed something lower. So it's like, asshole, you know, it's like,
right,
just doesn't work that way. So I don't know, like, there's different types of gamblers out there, like you said, like people who play the pass line, who play don't pass, and blackjack players who play by the book, and some guys who play by their feelings, and I'm like, don't play by your feeling because it's stressful because you're just mixing up the cards also.
Right.
And it's like terrible. Like,
But you're right. And part of what actually makes gambling as fun as it is that it can be a communal thing. But it can also be a stressful thing because it's a communal thing. You can't, like, force someone off of your table because they're doing the wrong things, like in blackjack, right? You know, to answer the original question, what are the games that I like to play? I actually love craps, but I only got into it really late. And the reason why I got into it is I realized when you're walking around with those casinos, you know exactly where the craps tables are at all times. Because
everyone's yelling.
Exactly. Yeah. You're just kind of quietly walking about, or you're playing your own game, and then next thing you know, you hear this eruption of, like, happiness and clapping and, you know, high-fiving and whatever. You know exactly that that's the craps table. It's not going to be a blackjack table. I mean, certain times you'll have blackjack tables where, you know, people
or roulette, too, because I've seen Sam try to high-five his wife.
Hey, where'd you go?
Where'd you go?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but even roulette, it's like you're the one who put the number on, and maybe a few other people put numbers on there as well. But when, like, you know, a point hits and everyone's playing pass, dude, there is an eruption that is there's no other table that is as loud as a craps table. And so you get sucked into that. Like, you want to be a part of that, which is what leads to like those random instances where I've had the hour and 15 minute roll or the 45 minute roll, you know, where, like, when you're hot as a shooter, there's, like, no greater feeling. Like, you feel like you're making all this money, but you're also helping everyone else make so much money. Right. And it's, like, this high that you get from that.
And it's like you're in the zone.
Yeah.
It's like if you're an athlete and you're, like, you know, you're scoring, like, 30 points a game for basketball, you're like, hey, you know what? You can't miss a bucket. And same as gambling, too. You cannot lose a hand.
Mm-hmm.
And for that 1 hour, you're on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So... yeah,
I mean, that's probably where that moniker came from, right? You're on a roll.
Yeah. You're on a roll, baby.
That's true.
Well, I like to play side bets in craps, and that's why I always end up even or not really up that much, because I like playing the features, which means, like, if you hit every number from 2 to 12 before you hit a 7, you get 30-1 odds on the low and the high, and then if you hit all, it's like 150-1, right?
Right. So altogether, it's like 210-1.
Right.
And it's because I've hit it 2 or 3 times the all, and I got paid out a few thousand dollars. So I'm like, man, this is kind of easy.
Time, yeah.
Now I'm like, now if I feel like when I don't, I hit it, and like, oh damn, I didn't play it, and so you miss out. But like,
well, like, you know, going back to, like, should you play it every time or not?
Right.
You know, that's the thing. And once you don't play it, then you hit it again. Huh. Right.
Right.
Now, I've seen Sam play Baccarat one time, and he places his bet on all the future bets except for one of them. Or he placed a small amount of bet, and then it was like 100-1 odds. And then, of course, he hits that
that's
one.
That's the one.
100-1.
Of course.
He hits, and then he only had a $5 bet, you know.
And the other ones, I had like $100.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you want to just be consistent, I guess. And then, like, if we're going to bet all the time, you bet.
Well, that's the thing. Like, even this weekend, I was telling Danny on sports betting, right? I was like, I've been really hot with hockey this week. I think I was like literally like 12-2 or 12-3 this week on hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And on NBA, I haven't been too good. But like in hockey, the juices are really high usually. So like I only bet like $200 or $300 a game. Whereas NBA, it's like -110, so it's like normal juice. And I'm betting like $500 to $600 a game. But like I'm hitting all the hockey bets, but I'm only winning like $200 at a time. But when I lose on my NBA, which I'm worse at, I'm losing like $600, $700. And so even though my record is winning on my picks, but my, like you said, my betting management or money management is not proper. So I ended up losing money this week, right?
Right.
Yeah. So
you want to just be consistent, like I said. You know, like if you're gonna bet $500 a game, then you know, bet $500 throughout the whole, you know, game.
Yeah. But like when you have -110, it's a lot easier than when it's -200.
Yeah.
Because 500 is like on 200, you're losing $1,000, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably what separates like the casual gambler from like the professionals, right? The professional gamblers, they don't gamble by like gut instinct or whatever. They're just like even keeled about it. So their money management's probably a lot better. They're going to be a lot more analytical about how they do things. I say that not from experience, because I'm definitely not an expert in sports gambling.
I don't think we are either.
No. If I was, I mean, it's fine, but like, you can do a lot better. I feel more comfortable at a blackjack table than me picking sports betting.
Right.
But that's fun too, right? I mean, that's why you do it. You know, the whole idea of being able to like figure out a pattern. I just, you know, similar thing. Like there was this like system that a friend of mine told me about, spring training baseball games. And I won't go into what exactly the system is, because I don't want to ruin it for my friend. But like, it's like, if you place all these bets, you know, there's a system that can happen. And so I started watching it like for like three, four games. It's like, oh, dang, it's working. It's hitting every single time. And then I start betting it, and it's like, it's not working quite as right. and then there'd be one day where it hits perfect. I'm like, oh yeah, this is the why this system works. And then I bet heavy the next day, and guess what happens?
You lose.
Lose every one exactly. of those games. And it's just like, damn.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah. And then so you get hit with that hard loss, so then you don't play that, you know, system the next 2 days. And the next 2 days, it hits huge. You're like, what the heck?
So going back to being consistent on your betting amount, so, you know, that's what you hopefully we have to learn that and try that.
Yeah, I'm learning. And that's the same thing with, like, blackjack. I feel like when I'm in a zone in blackjack, I know how to bet properly. So, like, when I'm down, I start betting lower. And when I'm doing good, I, you know, double, triple, quadruple right. my bets. And but I see the runs in blackjack. You know, I don't see it in craps. I see some of it on sports, like my hockey ones. I can see the ones and like make it hit. But like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not confident in my picks in my hockey because of the juice. Juice scares people. And I think that allows me to like not bet properly.
Right.
And that's why the juices come in play, I think.
Right.
That's
right.
True.
Yeah.
So how about, let's talk about slot machines. What are your thoughts on slot machines?
I don't play slots.
I don't play slots. Well, I
play slots.
Well, I take that back, actually. You know what? The one time that I've played slots and had a lot of fun with it is, again, when we all go out together as a group and we go out with like our wives. What we have done before in the past is we'll all pull, you know, our money, and let's say we all put, you know, put in $100 each, and there's seven of us and our wives, so that's like $1,400 that we all pull together, and then we'll just take all that money to a high limit, you know, slot machine, put all the money in, and what we do is we go in like a carousel, and we like each person would like play, you know, hit, you know, the spin button, and then go to the next, and just kind of circle around. Until, you know, either we play through all the money and we lose it, or we hit something big. And I just remember the few times that we've done that. That was a lot of fun. Like win, lose, or whatever.
Well, I started playing high limit slots, you know, like.
Actually, you have friends who play high limit
slots. I have some friends. Right? And I had a client back in 2017 that played high limit slots. And he would tell me that he wins like $2 million, $3 million a year. And he's playing, like, I literally, like, me and Danny went to Florida with him at the Hard Rock Casino in, like, in Fort Lauderdale area. And we're sitting there in high limit with him. And you know how, like, slot machines take those, like, money? And they're, like, because he's playing $1,000 spins, he has to actually take those, like, slot, like, those slips, coupons that are $1,000 slips and play, because he can't put $1,000. You know, $100 bills, the vouchers.
Yeah.
So he would has all these vouchers, like stacks, and he just sticks in the vouchers for $1,000. Boom, another voucher. And like, I was like, man, I should. And as I'm talking to him, I'm like, he's playing like three machines at a time. And I was like, oh, I should play this like pinball machine or whatever, Top Dollar or something. And it was like $100 spin. So I was like, about to put it in. But I was about to put my money in. Then he puts his money in. And then he pushes it and it hits 10,000.
Wow.
And I was like, damn it, I could have won 10,000. And he's like, ah, it's only 10,000. It's like the perspective is so different, right? Like, I'm like, oh, shoot, if I put 100 and won 10,000 on a slot machine, I'll be happy. But he's like, oh, damn it, it's only 10,000. Because he said, and that session, he probably lost $200,000. And he was just like, okay, let's go up to my room and chat and eat something. So then we did that. But I was like, damn, dude, that's $200,000 he lost. But he's like, and then the couple of days later, he texts me and goes, oh, guess what? I won $500,000 when you left, like the next day or something. So it's like, it's all perspective, right? Like for us, it's like if I win $5,000 to $10,000, I'm happy, right? It's like it's not gonna change my world or anything, but like, you know, $200,000 will make a big impact. But for him, $200,000 didn't really make an impact on him. You know, like for him to win $500,000 didn't make an impact on him.
Right.
And so it's just like perspective.
It's different for everybody else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like our kids, if they win $500, it's like a lot of money to them, right?
If they win $8,000,
$8,000 is a big amount of money. That's, but it's a little different. So, anyways, I don't know. It's about that time. So, Mark, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And, you know, sure we'll have you on as a guest another time. And thank you to the listeners. And, yeah, hopefully we're going to get some sponsors and we'll have more guests and we have other crazy and fun experiences to talk about in the future. Thank you for joining us on Scared Money Don't Make Money.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.